Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Friday evening, everyone. Welcome to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. I was unable to attend the usual Friday night festivities here on Friday nights last week because, as you can probably tell by the sound of my voice, well, we thought that maybe bubonic plague was going through the Noble household. Turns out it was only a touch of bronchitis, but, you know, these things hang on for weeks and weeks and weeks, and you take drugs and you get plenty of rest and do all the things you're supposed to do, go to the doctor, do what the doctor tells you, and it just doesn't seem to want to go away. So now apparently I have this husky Kathleen Turner thing going on here, and, well, you know, please, if you like it, you know, call in and let me know. But I'll do my best here, and we'll go along here as long as the old pipes hold out here for me. It's good to be back. Like I said, we were not here last week due to some illness, but I am back here, and I will do the best I can. So we got a lot to cover tonight, and I'm going to jump right into it here. Of course, big news last week was the death of former South African President Nelson Mandela. You know, people have a lot of mixed views on Nelson Mandela. He has a mixed past. I don't think that anyone can argue that he brought South Africa out of a very ugly period, the apartheid period, a period of extreme racism and discrimination for a large majority of South African citizens, and he did a lot of things for his people that were nothing short of miraculous, and I think that does need to be acknowledged and it does need to be talked about. But what has not been talked about is some of his early history and some of the things that he was involved in prior to all the good things. And again, you know, we're all human and we all have good periods and bad periods in our lives, but you know, Nelson Mandela in his early life was he embraced communism. He embraced a lot of the teachings and a lot of the readings of people like Mao, people like Fidel Castro, people like Karl Marx. And you know, if you're going to talk about the good things, let's do that. Let's talk about the good things, but you have to acknowledge the other things too. If you're going to be intellectually honest when you're speaking about somebody like a Nelson Mandela. And so he passed away last Thursday, and his funeral was earlier this week in South Africa. And, well, I guess everyone is talking about the selfie heard around the world. And that would be, I guess everybody has seen it by now, the picture that's been all over the internet of President Obama, the Danish Prime Minister, and Prime Minister David Cameron of Great Britain apparently having a good time taking selfies and hanging out at the memorial. And, you know, it wasn't a somber, sad moment. Yeah, sure, there were people who were upset and people who were crying and grieving and things like that. But, you know, I think we do have to acknowledge that basically what this was a celebration of life, and it was a celebration of Nelson Mandela's life. So there was that aura of celebration and not so much an overwhelming aura of somberness. But, you know, Barack Obama does so many things that make so many people wonder just what kind of maturity level that we're dealing with here. And if you are the leader of the world's largest superpower, at least right now, well, you know, at least on paper it looks that way, and you're at a memorial for someone the caliber of Nelson Mandela, and you're doing 12-year-old things like taking selfies with other heads of state, it just, you know, it's very questionable, and it makes people just, you know, really wonder where your head is and really wonder where you're, you know, to be quite honest, really wonder where your maturity level is at. And, you know, like I said, I think that we have asked this question before about President Obama, because wherever he shows up, it seems to be that whatever the event is, it always ends up somehow being about him. When Nelson Mandela died, the White House tweeted out a picture of President Obama sitting in Nelson Mandela's cell in his prison cell in South Africa. And now there's a selfie of President Obama and other heads of state. So there's this pattern of it always being about him wherever he happens to show up at. And, you know, the other thing too, not just so much the selfie, but, and you know, in fact, this whole day, this whole memorial was, you know, it was almost kind of a microcosm of the entire Obama presidency, because you had the whole thing with the selfie, and oh man, did everybody see Michelle Obama's face while this whole cutting up was going on between the Danish Prime Minister and Prime Minister Cameron and President Obama while they're doing the whole selfie thing? And did everyone see the picture of Michelle Obama just kind of sitting there with a scowl on her face, and you know, like she was the grown up having to watch these 12-year-olds do what they were doing at the memorial. And and also it was quite interesting. There was a series of pictures of President Obama and the Danish Prime Minister, who's a very attractive blonde lady, and looked like they were having a great conversation, having a wonderful time, sitting and chatting. And the next set of pictures is Michelle Obama sitting in between them. And so I think the whole world, as soon as we saw these pictures, I know myself, you really kind of wanted to be a fly on the wall there just to see just exactly what was going on there. So that also made it interesting. The other thing, of course, too, was the whole sign language guy. This guy has become known, I think he's become known around the world as the sign language guy, because, well, was there supposedly signing the speeches at the memorial for the hearing impaired, and we found out later on this week that he really wasn't doing that, and there wasn't really anybody who could actually say what exactly he was doing there. He was standing behind the president, really, which is kind of a scary thing in and of itself, because not only was he within 10 feet of the president of the United States, but he was also within in a pretty short distance of all of these other heads of state. And so I think the biggest question this week is, how did this guy, where was the security? You know, you had over 50 heads of state at this memorial, plus other, you had former presidents, such as former President Bill Clinton, former President George Bush. You had all of these heads of state and former heads of state who were there at this memorial service, and where was the security if a guy like this could get in and start standing behind presidents and prime ministers making these ridiculous hand gestures and pretend to be signing in sign language the speeches that all these people were giving. I mean, it's really mind-boggling when you think about it. And there was also a report that actually just came out today, and I did not hear this gentleman's name, but apparently back in 2003, well, he had some murder charges against him. It is not clear yet. This whole story of this has not come out, and it's not completely clear just exactly what went on with murder charges that this man was facing. I'm sure that will come out in the days and weeks to come. But there was also some question as to his actual mental state, that he had some history of mental illness and was almost kind of a self-proclaimed schizophrenic. And so, again, I think we have to ask ourselves, with all of these heads of state and all of these dignitaries at this memorial service, where was the security that a guy like this could just almost just slip in unnoticed and be doing the things that he was doing just completely, you know, without any, you know, without anyone watching or anyone trying to find out who he was. So that really made the whole day. Like I said, I think what struck me about it between the whole selfie thing and the sign language guy was it's just really kind of a microcosm, if you think about it, of the whole Obama presidency. And so we had that. We also had this week, you know, the saga that is Obamacare. Just, you know, this is only the beginning. We're only at the tip of this iceberg, and we're going to be hearing we're going to be hearing about it basically every day from now until, you know, who knows when, because, you know, as more people lose their health plans, more people get kicked off their health insurance, and as of January 1st, when January 1st rolls around, I really do believe that the state of healthcare, no matter what you're involved in, if you are a healthcare employee, if you have a chronic illness that you do deal with the healthcare system on a regular basis, I really think that January 1 is going to be a game changer, and that things really are going to take on a whole new they're going to take on a whole new shape come January 1. But you know, over at PMSNBC, they see racism a lot, and they see racism in places they see racism in places that maybe you and I would not necessarily see it. And Melissa Harris Perry over there at PMSNBC, well, she's got a problem with a certain word that has become popular in American English within the past year or so. And I'm going to paraphrase her and say, I think we all know what word that we're talking about here, but I'll let her explain this.
Melissa Harris Perry, I want to talk today about a controversial word. It's a word that has been with us for years. And like it or not, it's indelibly printed in the pages of American history. A word that was originally intended as a derogatory term, meant to shame and divide and demean. The word was conceived of by a group of wealthy white men who needed a way to put themselves above and apart from a black man, to render him inferior and unequal, and to diminish his accomplishments. President Obama has been labeled with this word by his opponents, and at first he rose above it, hoping that if he could just make a cause for what he'd achieved, his opponents would fail in making their label stick. But no matter how many successes that he had as president, he realized there were still many people for whom he'd never be anything more than that one disparaging word, a belief he knew was held not just by his political opponents, but also by a significant portion of the American electorate. And so he decided, if you can't beat him, you got to join him. And he embraced the word and made it his own, sending his opposition a message they weren't expecting. If that's what you want me to be, I'll be that. Y'all know the word that I'm talking about. Obamacare. That's right, I said it and I'm not ashamed, and neither is President Obama, because he knows that of all his victories over two terms in office, his legacy is ultimately going to be remembered for this one single word. I mean, what do you call the president who rescues the U.S. auto industry? Obamacare. What do you call the president who finally eliminates Osama bin Laden? Obamacare. What do you call the president who ends Don't Ask, Don't Tell? Say it with me. Obamacare. Heard the one about the president who pulled us out of the greatest recession since the Great Depression? Yep. Obamacare. And what about the one, you know, about the president who reduced drug sentencing disparities? Obamacare. Stop if you have heard this one. A group of underpaid women and the president who passed a pay equity law walk into a bar. Okay, you see where I'm going with this. Short of bringing about world peace before he leaves office, the Affordable Care Act will loom large in the president's legacy as the singular accomplishment of his two terms. And now, following the relaunch of a new and improved and fully operational healthcare.gov website, the president is not only owning it, but doubling down and putting a bright spotlight on the Obama in Obamacare. This week, the White House announced that it's going to be all ACA every day from now until December 23rd enrollment deadline for coverage on January 1st. Starting with the president himself, who has been pulling his best Rick Ross, you know, hustling almost every day this week to make the hard sell on the Affordable Care Act. This was his.
So, let's review, shall we? The word Obamacare, I did say it, didn't I? The word Obamacare, if you use that word, you might as well just be saying the N-word. And we all know what word we're talking about here. And if you use the N-word and you use the word Obamacare, well, you're a racist. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron. I'm Becky Noble. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm Becky Noble, TGIF, and everything that goes along with that. And I am sure that you all are of the same opinion that I am. Thank God it's Friday. And where else would you be on Friday night at 10:48 p.m. Central Time but listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio with me, Becky Noble? Thanks for hanging out. So anyway, we have been talking about, well, we talked about the Nelson Mandela Memorial and the selfie heard around the world. And we also talked about how I'm going to keep going here as long as my voice keeps holding out because bubonic plague, well, plagued the noble household. Okay, maybe it wasn't really bubonic plague. It was just bronchitis. But, you know, I'm going to go along here and do the best that I can do while my Kathleen Turner voice is still holding up here. So anyway, in addition to the Mandela Memorial this week, you know, of course, the never-ending saga that is Obamacare is going on. And now, this week, according to PolitiFact, and this is an outfit that's a website that kind of tracks the trueness and the falseness thereof of
elected officials and the things, a lot of things that they say. And, well, they have determined that their lie of the year this year was none other than the old, if you like your health plan, you can keep it. And the old, if you like your doctor, from our buddy, your buddy and mine, Barack Hussein Obama. Oops, I did say Hussein, isn't that? That probably makes me a racist, doesn't it? Well, I'll try to get past that. So with that in mind, one of the architects, one of the main, you know, the main inventors, one of the main, you know, the main brains, the main minds behind Obamacare, Dr. Zeke Emanuel, was on with Chris Wallace last Sunday on Fox News Sunday. And, well, Chris and Dr. Zeke had a really interesting exchange here. And Chris had a little bit of trouble getting some answers out of him, but he asked him about the old, if you like your doctor, you can keep him.
President Obama famously promised, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Doesn't that turn out to be just as false, just as misleading as his promise about if you like your plan, you can keep your plan? Isn't it a fact, sir, that most, in fact, of the Obamacare health plans that are being offered on the exchanges exclude a number of doctors and hospitals to lower costs?
The president never said you were going to have unlimited choice of any doctor in the country you want to go to.
Wait, no. He asked a question. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Did he not say that, sir?
He didn't say you can have unlimited choice.
It's a simple yes or no question. Did he say if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor?
Yes, but look, if you want to pay more for an insurance company that covers your doctor, you can do that. This is a matter of choice. We know in all sorts of places you pay more for a wider range of choices or a wider range of benefits. The issue isn't these selective networks. People keep saying, oh, the problem is you're going to have a selective network.
Well, if you lose your doctor or you lose your hospital.
Let me just say something. People are going to have a choice as to whether they want to pay a certain amount for a selective network or pay more for a broader network.
Which will mean your premiums will probably go up.
They get that choice. That's a choice
which
we always make.
Which means your premium may go up over what you were paying. So that, in other words,
guaranteed you that your premium wouldn't increase. Premiums have been going up.
The president guaranteed me I could keep my doctor.
Under president, and if you want to, you can pay for it. Sure. Under president.
Okay, so President Obama said over 50 times, looked people in the eye into TV cameras and said, if you like your insurance, you can keep it. If you like your doctor, you can keep him or her. There was no caveat that said, if you're willing to pay for it. So as this goes on and as it gets worse and worse, and like I said at the beginning of the show here, these millions of people so far who have lost their health plans and who have lost their insurance, this is just the first wave of things to come. It's not over yet with peeps. It's not over. And so they're going to keep, the administration is going to keep changing the wording, and they're going to keep saying, well, what we said was, get used to this because it's going to keep happening because they have to keep defending the indefensible. And so keep looking for more of that because it's just, like I said again, this is just the beginning. And I'm sure that Dr. Zeke will be a regular on many a TV network defending the indefensible. We also had this week, very quickly, we had a budget bill passed through the House, a bipartisan budget bill passed through the House of Representatives this week. And, you know, I think for most conservatives, it's more of the same. It says the bill raised discretionary spending and replaces $63 billion that would have been otherwise automatically cut from the budget with more targeted cuts in fees. And this is the most significant budget agreement since the Republicans won control of the House in 2010. The bill passed by 332-94 with 62 Republicans bucking the House leadership and opposing the deal. The Senate is going to vote on this bill this week and will more than likely pass it. And again, like I said, I think it's more of the same. There's increases in spending and there's not enough spending cuts. So conservatives are not happy with it. Liberal Democrats are not happy with it because it did not increase employment benefits for the unemployed. And but the thing is that neither side is happy, yet both sides are going to claim victory. And it's, like I said, it's basically more of the same, where Democrats say, okay, here's what we want, and Republicans say, well, okay, we're not going to cave, but then they cave. And so, again, this will be voted on this week in the Senate, and it is expected to pass. This bill was drawn up by Representative Paul Ryan of Wisconsin and Senator Patty Murray of Washington State. And so that is who's responsible for that little tidbit right there. Let's see. And, of course, a lot of conservative groups have attacked Speaker of the House John Boehner about this bill. And, of course, one of the conservative groups here who's responded to questioning Speaker Boehner's credibility, and FreedomWorks President Matt Kibbe said in a statement that, quote, when it comes to credibility, actions speak louder than words, and right now it looks like the Speaker is leading the charge for spending increases and recruiting Democrat votes in the House to help get it done. Dan Holler, who is the communications director for the Heritage Foundation, for Heritage Action, found the Speaker's comments to be, quote, bizarre. He also said everyone in town knew what the deal looked like, at least in part due to leaks out of the Speaker's office. Everything we warned about is all true. So, again, there are some, once again, conservatives feel like that they have gotten the shaft by Republicans in the House. And, you know, 2014 is an election year, so it's going to be interesting to see how long that people's memory is and to see what happens there. And finally, on a lighter note, it being the holiday season here and all, and maybe this is something that we should, that we should all watch out for. It appears that a new study in the British Medical Journal took a look at the drinking habits of the world's most debonair spy and found that, in fact, well, Mr. Bond, James Bond, he does have a drinking problem. It's the Christmas edition of the journal is traditionally lighthearted. They went through all 14 books of the Bond series and recorded every time the agent was described as having a drink. On average, he was having about 25 drinks a day, which, you know, oh, James, I think you have a problem. It said the researchers pointed out that this level of alcohol consumption would make him unable to do most of his technically skilled spy tasks. Although Bond was described as being the best shot in the Secret Service, one researcher thought that that was hogwash. People who drink at this level are severely functionally inhibited unless this refers to shots of various spirits, the researcher said. This assertion is likely to be pure fantasy. So his license to kill seems to extend only to his liver. But, however, being an employee of the British government, we would hope that with all the nationalized health care there in Britain, that James Bond will be able to go into rehab and get the help that he needs to remain the world's most debonair spy. And with that, people, we have come to the end of tonight's broadcast. I would like to thank everyone for stopping by and hanging out with me tonight. We will be hearing much more next week, of course, on Obamacare and the Senate and the House. Well, they've beaten feet and gotten the hell out of Washington, D.C., so I'm sure even though that they are not working, that is good for us, and we will find more things to talk about. So please look for me on Facebook at facebook.com/BeckyNoble. Please look for me on Twitter at PatriotWitch, and please go to where it started at all, theconservativecauldron.blogspot.com, and look for my page on examiner.com. I want to thank everybody for hanging out with me tonight and stopping by. Look at me. My voice did not cave, and we held on till the bitter end, my people. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I'm Becky Noble. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. See you next time.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Podcast.